Hello, like he said, my name is Lucas. I'm 20 years old, and I graduated from Belleville High School, which probably none of you know where it is because it's a country town. I was an intern here, and during my internship, I was given the opportunity to speak here. So I'm so thankful to be here and for your guys' time, and so thank you for having me. So I would like to pray and then read some scripture, and then we'll get into it. So Lord, I cannot tell you how thankful I am for today. I thank you for what you are doing here today. Every heart, every story, every personality that you brought here today. Thank you for how much you love us and how close you are. I pray that you hide me behind the cross and that I wouldn't speak a word today, but only you. Thank you, Lord. In your mighty name I pray, amen. When I got asked to speak, and it's actually interesting that Caleb spoke on that, because months ago we talked about how we could connect our messages and nothing happened after that. That's my fault because I'm not a very responsible person, but they do connect. So when I got asked to speak, I thought of what kept me from intimacy with God, what kept me from being able to stand boldly and fearlessly and do the things I wanted to do and do the things with him and feel like I was actually with him. And that was always what I thought was sin keeping me from him, but I realized I'm always going to sin. We're always going to sin. So that can't be the problem, or else I'm never going to be with God, and that's not what he wants for me. What he wants for me is to realize and understand his love for me, his love for you, his love for us, his unconditional love. So the title of my message is Living in the Father's Love. I'm going to use the parable of the prodigal son a lot, so I'd like to read Luke 17 through 24. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring him the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." So love frees us and waits for us. So before this scripture, it talks about how he left and he took his portion from the father, which was one third of everything he had. He took goods, money, whatever his father wanted him to have, he gave it to him, but he wanted it now. And he actually didn't want it without the father because he was going to leave. He wanted everything the father could give him. He wanted everything the father had for him, but he denied the father and he walked away in his own way. That's how I was a lot. That's maybe how some of you can relate. There's been times in my life where I have taken your breath, God, where I have taken your time and your relationships and the people you've blessed me with, and I have squandered them and maybe not done the best, and I have spat in your face and walked away. That's something, a cycle that has kept me away from intimacy with God for a long time. It almost kept me away from speaking today. So I'm going to hit it right on the head and I'm going to go straight after it, if you guys will do that with me. One third was given to him. He walked away from his father, everything his father had, his family, everything, and he went and he chose his own way. And his father let him. God isn't controlling us. God doesn't want to dictate us. He wants what we want, but most of all, he wants us. He loves us so much that he'll let us go do whatever we want, but just because he'll let us go and he let his son go in this parable doesn't mean it didn't break his heart. Doesn't mean it wasn't the worst day of his life. Doesn't mean he didn't wait every single moment, every single second for his son to come back and to look into his eyes and say, "Father, I want you." Okay, so he loves you enough, he'll let us go our own way. He let his son go the own way. This goes on, and the son, he goes off on his journey. And we're all in different places today, but I think there's a few people here who have gone on a journey away and recognized the place with the pigs. So he got to a place where he was so hungry, he was so dirty that he was in a pigsty, and he was eating with the pigs. He went from royalty to pain, loneliness, anger, bitterness, and he was left cold and in the dirt. There's nothing the father could do. He separated himself from him. It was just a very lonely place. I've been there and somewhere hard to come back from, but you can. So he came to himself. like we read in the verse, he's like, I had so much more with the Father. I had so much more. And I think deep down, he realized that he had so much more than just things with the Father. He had a home. He had love. He had compassion. He had a family. He had safety. He had relationship. And now he has pigs and a pigsty and dirt. So verse 20, he came to himself and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. When he was a long way off, he ran to him. A long way off. I don't know about you, but for me, it's hard to recognize some people up there. And he was a long way off, but he recognized his son, which leads me to believe that every single day he spent heartbroken, he was waiting for his son to come back. That he never forgot his son. He never forgot me. He never forgot you. That you are his son, you are his daughter, and he recognizes you just by the way you walk, the way you smile. You know how dirty this man was? You know how dirty his robe's torn? I guarantee he was probably not walking up like this. I guarantee he's walking like this, maybe cold. So, and you're going to recognize that from a long way off? Yes, because your father recognizes you. He loves you, and you cannot do anything, anything. You can never go anywhere too far for him. He will recognize you, and he will recognize his son, his daughter. There's nothing you can do. So if you hear anything, the entire message, please, you can never go too far or dirty yourself too much to be unrecognizable by the Father. He loves you so much that he waits for you and recognizes you. Whatever your dirt is, I'll get to this more later, but for me, it was pornography and lust. Man, I am dirty. But he recognized me and he called me back so many times. And he's calling you back, I think, today. And just believe, you are not too dirty for Jesus. You are not too dirty. So at least to my story a little bit, I'll tell you really quick a little bit about it. I grew up in the church. I don't know if there's some Springs of Hope people in here, but that's where I grew up. So I grew up in the church. I grew up with God, but that wasn't the story for the rest of my life. Years down the line, there were some things that happened in my family and we stopped going to church. We didn't have a church. We moved to Belleville. So for years, I went like 5 years without church and I called myself a Christian. But this was kind of me going out on my journey. Some of us choose it, some of us don't. I did choose this. I could have found a church. I could have done something, but I chose to walk away and to be okay with my sin. So this is me walking away from the Father. I was so addicted to pornography, and I was okay with it. I used to be in a place where I didn't like it or I fought with it. No, I was okay with it, but I still called myself a Christian. I still love Jesus, and that was true. It was a very not great relationship and very painful for both sides. And I walked away. I took his breath. I took everything the way I saw, looked at girls in the hallways. Not great. I would look at my friends, have a friendly conversation, and think these terrible things about them. And it tore me up. And then I would go home and I would do my stuff. There was bits and pieces where I would repent, but I walked away completely. I would swear. I was so angry. I played video games so much, and I got so tired, and so all the life left me. You can ask my mom. She's sitting right there. She would come into my room all the time. Lucas, you want to go do something with the family? Lucas, you want to go out and you want to hang out with us? Nope. Because I lost all the energy in my life. I had everything stolen from me, and I gave it away. I was cold. I was lonely, and it stole a lot from me. But I wasn't too dirty for him. One thing that hurt the most is my friends used to say, wow, that's a Christian. Every time I swore on the mic, because I called myself a Christian, that was the thing that hurt the most, because I realized what I'm doing. I'm spitting in your eye, God. Wow, that's a Christian. I got hit with that so many times. I would swear or I would say something about a girl. And I think that was God's loving knock, because every time I would think of him. So I had enough. I came home. I was invited one time after Campfire, which I recommend. It's ran by the Haugies, and it's so amazing. One time I was invited, I was called home by God, because one time they invited me to a youth group after Campfire, and I came, and I was welcomed in the home. That's where I found who I was again. That's where I repented. My swearing went away. My porn addiction was still a battle, but it wasn't something I was okay with. So point two is coming partway home. My plan looked a lot like the prodigal's. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. That's how I came to the church, full of shame. That was my plan, to enjoy, try and fix the things of my life, but just be okay with realizing that I may not fully get all the way home. I was welcomed in the home by this place. You are my home. My family, I was welcomed in the house. I'm extremely grateful for that. So if you ever want a family, if you ever want to be not cold, we are here. If any of you, this is your first time, and we love you, and we would love to get to know you, because that's what they did for me years ago when I was walking up, actually in that parking lot, to that field, all dirty, all nasty, and they welcomed me with a smile, and yeah. So this lie ruled my life for years. I was welcomed by the family, and I got stuck in this cycle. I call it the prodigal cycle, and I didn't ask him if he would do this, but Petey, would you come up here? I love you. I would like to show you that cycle that I was caught in. Can you stand right there? That's Jesus, okay? I was stuck in this. I was stuck in this cycle, this prodigal cycle, where I would come a little closer, and I would mess up, and I would take a lot of steps back. Then something would happen, and I would be like, I am too tired for this. I want you back. And I would get a little closer, and then I would mess up with pornography again, and I would, Lord, I'm not worthy of this. I can't be around you. I am not worthy to be around these kids or these people or this youth group, and I don't want to be in a place where I could hurt you. And I would have enough of myself, and I would come a little bit closer, and then I would be like, no. And this wasn't a place of conviction. Conviction is good. Conviction is good for all of us. This was a place of condemnation, because conviction is with him. I am not with him. And I don't know if you noticed, but I got farther and farther when I thought I was in a place where I was getting closer and closer. I'm really far from him. Throughout my life, he's been teaching me really what his love is, and that's what intimacy with God is for me. Learning that he loves me so unconditional that when I mess up, I don't have to turn around. I can walk towards him every time I mess up. Lord, I watched pornography again. It's okay, you're my son. Lord, I looked at this girl or I was angry again. It's okay, you're my son. And I just kept getting closer and closer. And there would be big cycles where I would go 5 days, 5 weeks with doing really good, and I would mess up again. This is like being in a tug of war between yourself, the devil, and then having yourself pull with the devil. It is so bad, and I cannot describe this pain for you, but if you were ever in this place, you know. And I love you so much, and I would love to talk to you after this if you were ever in this place. So I would get closer and closer, and I would be on these cycles. Sometimes, even while I'm learning this, I would turn around and I would walk a little bit back, but I would get closer and closer, and it was so noticeable. You would see it in my personality. I'm sure some of the staff saw it. My mom's seen it. Like I said, I would get so tired and not want to be around people because I felt unworthy. Those were the times where I would show up to work late. Those were the times where, oh, you weren't at this meeting. Yeah, I was too ashamed and I was just running to my sin. These were the times where my mom and my family would come knock on my door and I'd be like, I don't want to. I missed out on so much life, because I thought I was too dirty for the Father. But he's welcoming us home, so I walk. And there were some times I would mess up really bad and I would walk a little more. And I would stumble a lot. But if you notice, I kept my eyes on him. And if you're going to stumble, when you're going to stumble, you can always stumble forward to him. And he'll take you from this point of brokenness, of ashes, where you think you're too dirty. But if you keep your eyes on him, he's going to take your ashes and he's going to make beauty out of anything. It can be pornography, drugs, it can be alcohol, it can be cheating, it can be anger, anything. He will work you up. Let your struggle be your testimony. He will just take you by the hand and he will take you into a new day. And I was in this cycle for a long time. I was in the house, I was in the family, but I was never in his arms. And it hurt so much. I just want to let you know that he's here today with open arms waiting for you to come home. No matter how dirty you are, he recognizes you, the way you walk, the way you smile, the way you joke, the things you do, the dumb things, the smart things, everything, okay? And he's waiting for you to come home today. There's nothing you can do to dirty yourself, because it's a love we can't even fathom. It's a Father's love. That cross stands for it, that you are never too dirty to come home to the Father. Let him take your beauties from ashes. Let your struggle today be your testimony tomorrow. And out of those ashes, he will make beauty. And fathers, if you struggle with pornography, that's something he's going to free you from, and you're going to be able to help your son. Sons, right now, if you're struggling with pornography, daughters too, if you're struggling with pornography, anything, that's going to be your testimony tomorrow, that you can stand next to your son, your daughters, and you can be like, not only do you have the most mighty Father with you, you can just hug your kids and be like, can I pray for you, because I know what it's like, and they'll have someone who's gone through it with them. And I can't wait for that day for him. He's already taken my ashes and made so much beauty this opportunity, and he is the same for you. Just please believe that you can never dirty yourself too much for the Father. Point three, the Father's unconditional love. So he got up and he went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, and he ran to his son. He's running to you today. That's another thing. If you keep your eyes on him and you don't turn away and you don't run from him, you can allow him to catch up and to come to you. He just wants to be with you. He wants you to have all this beauty, these laughs, these friendships, these communities. And he's not trying to limit you by taking things away from you. He's trying to give you the most beautiful thing. I can promise you, from being in a place where he gave me friends and family in a youth group, but I can let go of pornography. It's a lot beautiful with just the Father, not the Father's things. He ran to his son, and that's just a beautiful thing, because can you imagine? This was a royal family, and he was probably dressed in amazing robes and amazing things, and I just think of reckless love, and I don't know why it just came up, but it is just so reckless to me that he can see his son from far off, so dirty, and doesn't look at him with shame or anger or the things that we think he would be looking at us with. But he runs so recklessly. I just picture flip-flops flying in the air, like his robe coming off and like him stumbling over himself. I'm not going to do that again. Sorry for the mic. And like tripping over himself just to get to his son that months, years ago was choosing to be apart from him. And I just think that's really beautiful. If you just close your eyes really quick, if you would picture yourself today in that situation, whatever it is for you, pornography, lust, alcohol, drugs, cheating, you just picture whatever your thing is that you fight, whatever your thing is that you struggle. And by the way, I'm not saying this is a bad thing. It actually makes you human that you struggle with these things and you're never going to stop, but you can understand the Father's love in this moment. So look, picture your thing that you're walking away from, all ashamed, all dirty, and you just look up, you open your eyes, and you see the Father running towards you recklessly. Like, wow, that is not the reaction I expected. He just wants to give you the world. Okay, you can open your eyes. So if you keep your eyes on him, you have someone to go through that journey with, okay? You have someone to go through those years, those days with. So wherever you are today, if you're at a high, if you're at a low, if you're in between, if you're all the way over there, if you're in his arms, you still need Jesus. We need Jesus. The more beautiful thing is that he needs us. He wants us, and he wants you today. So I realized this, and I was not just in his house. I was not just in his family. I was not just doing the works. I was not just going through the motions, but I was in his arms. So I would like to bring up Galatians 2:20, please. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. He gave himself for me so that I could walk away from my porn addiction, that I could walk away from my shame, that I could walk away from the ways I used to look at people, that I could walk back home just to see him running towards me. So a character that has always stuck out to me has been David. So I'd like to bring up one of David's psalms. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take the Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. You know how many times that man messed up? Quite a bit. You know how many times I've messed up? Probably a lot more than him, but it doesn't matter. Great, small mistakes, they're not mistakes in his eyes. They're just a chance for him to use your ashes and give you beauty. He loves you. Wherever you are, he loves you. Whatever you're struggling with, he loves you. However dirty you may feel, he loves you. He loves us. So I'm just going to end in prayer. Lord, I thank you for every person here. And I thank you for how out of the odds this moment is, that every single person, all their lives led up to this one point, to us being in this one room together, that this, for such a time as this. So Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for the adventures, the highs and the lows you've brought us through. I thank you for every person. I thank you for what you want to do. I thank you that there is no dirtiness too dirty for you. And I pray right now that you would just fall on every heart. Thank you that you allowed me to speak. Thank you that you allowed me to be here. And I thank you for today. In your mighty name I pray. Amen.